It's so lovely to be here, well, here and with you there. And what a night, what a night. I'm just so in awe of, what you managed to write, combining those words. And I have to say, I have no sausages, no pitchforks, no acerbic, no solstice even. But I do have, I think there's a trace, so I'm sort of like halfway bridging into the to the next five words. So so thank you so much for having me. I am in Morecambe Bay, in northwest England. It's looking really, really dark out there. It's as hot here probably as it is with you by the looks of everybody. And fingers crossed, there's thunder and lightning. I'm not very far away. And so I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to stay with you for the duration. But if I'd suddenly disappear, that's because the thunder and lightning has struck something nearby. Mel, I'm going to read from Mel, my book that is mainly around looking at the ocean and exploring how I relate to the ocean, how I think the ocean impacts us, and just that whole kind of engagement with water. I mean, like I say, we're in a heat wave at the moment, and it feels like even though the sea is literally meters away from where I'm sitting, it feels a very long way away from water, although I'm sure somewhere in the world it will be raining and crazy floods, and that's just how it is sort of cycling around in this sort of more and more extreme weather conditions. So I'm going to start the reading on Morecambe Bay and then move further and further north up to the Arctic. So I hope you enjoy it. I think the only thing I want to say is that you heard from the introduction that a lot of what I do isn't just words on a page, but I play around with performance and film and sort of sculptural forms, and I think I'm as interested in the sound and rhythm and sort of texture of words as I am their meanings. So just let the words wash over you like a warm wave on the ocean, and I hope you enjoy it. Some days, wind and tide spew shrapnel up the bridge. On others, these snappings of garish flakes hook themselves to a retreating wave, drawn back under, away, out of the bay on tides faster than a man can run. Bits of computer, biros, scraps of cars, satellite butts and buildings, rides, sand, waves, mega ripples, coils, fuming, flexing nurdles, the bedrock of plastic manufacturer, foam from drains and container ships, tough enough to reach the Irish Sea, looping polymers, gleam of chains, of cosmetics and cleaning products, indistinguishable from bubbles of air or algae, spunk of gas, coal and oil, bristling tentacles of ancient sunlight, free from millennia of confinement. There is a lot of plastic in the ocean, and I am sure you have heard of these sort of floating islands that kind of come together at Gyres out in the ocean. But we all know that we sort of find lots of this stuff coming up on beaches. And I have spent many days on the beach near here on Morecambe Bay, clearing up. And it does, it is cathartic, even though it also feels so fruitless because there is so much there. But it does help me. It sort of, it grounds me somehow. This poem's called Recovery. However much your body disturbs you, it needs to be loved. Like this beach, you mine for bottles filled with sour congealment, screwed grit and fish scales, where fork prongs and splintered cups strewn across grass and shells are called confetti. which you collect and bin, because in the deep, nothing breaks down to nothing. It's a fruitless job. It's a small act, all these small acts of resistance that seem to make a difference. And as well as plastic, there is a lot of driftwood that comes down both the rivers. There's five rivers that feed Morecambe Bay. And so there's a lot of driftwood that comes down from the rivers. And I wonder sometimes whether the wood comes from further afield, maybe Ireland, maybe from Scotland, maybe up from Wales. So we've had bits of Welsh marina land here. So, you don't know, this sort of swirling mass of ocean that covers 2/3 of our planet. Things could come from anywhere. So yeah, driftwood comes fairly regularly. Driftwood. We could be pallbearers, slouching home with a spine of dead elm, shoulder high. Our pacing coordinated to preserve length, coupling limbs, gnarled arms caught around the knot of memory. We listen to the squeal of salt log skin in the North Atlantic drift. Rain makes everything slippery. Trunk straight, trunk crooked, trunk compressing trunks where we were so buoyant. There's no rolling free from the Gulf Stream's fate. We reel on, awkward on uneven ground with the weight of a warm nest. Judder as we heat, forward curl under this unwieldy pressure, buffeted by wind. I eye the grain of our lineage, brine pulped. We are not myth, ancient or rotting, not yesterday, but tomorrow, today. Our niche as scavengers, we convey this rootless tree as others carry unborn children. So as well as the things that fall into the sea, obviously, thank you. As well as the things that fall into the sea, the plastic, the trees, dead trees, the sea is obviously an astonishing ecosystem of plants and animals in its own right. And the thing that I think really fascinates me are plankton, these microscopic plants and animals that that live in the ocean. And the plants in these microscopic plants, this plankton, the phytoplankton in the sea, provide half the oxygen in the, well, actually, I think it's 2/3 of the oxygen of the planet. So every second breath that you breathe comes from the sea. And I just think we sort of hear a lot about trees, about the rainforest. Actually, the ocean is as crucial to our survival in that way. And so, yeah, this poem is sort of plays off that idea and this sort of like obsessive fascination with staring at very small things called spectral. Tens of millions of carbon stitching larvae and adult plankton as indistinguishably inhaled by woman, exhaling by girl. Looking as a four-year-old might without the focus of glasses at this water bauble left behind by the sea backcombing salt marsh, I see pixels, multicolored cells cohering around this grass blade tip. Mother and daughter of this place, ebb dragged and flood ripped open, my hands hammering and listening, will pull a fish from the washed up ewe, spines carved dark, scales chisel, from having thrashed against tides, against all likelihood, to equip itself for flight and death. So, thank you. So this is it's the last poem about plankton, but not quite. But this is a small poem, and it's just celebrating. So not only do plankton provide the air we breathe, they also create one of the largest daily migrations in the world. So, well, it's at night. So the zooplankton, these tiny animals, rise up from the depths of the sea to the surface to feed on the algae at night. So this sort of enormous, like trillions of tiny, tiny creatures are rising up from the depths of the sea to the surface. And that again just blew my mind. So moist. In the unfathomable dark of my closed eyes, microscopic life surfaces to feed on digested sunlight or suspended specks, synthetics that will plug guts and cling to filaments and furca of these translucent drifters. Some as long as whales, whose gels and gases upwell smaller than the sleep I wipe from my lashes. So you may remember, thank you. You may remember a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, about the beast from the east, the sort of Arctic winds that came down and sort of hit Europe, more southern Europe. I was up in Scotland, so they're sort of moving a bit further north from Morecambe Bay now. I was up in Scotland in St Andrews, and came across this beach just strewn with dead creatures. It was really shocking. I've never seen such carnage. This poem describes that what starts at that point, slow rising. One lobster in a wreckage of brittle stars, urchins, clam husks, crabs, lugworm casings, possibly millions of splayed limbs desiccated in the stretch of mires that will become beach. And we may not save its life, merely prolong another hour, another tide for it. Perhaps we want to save ourselves. We know we cannot revive the dead, reverse days, rehydrolyze hearts with cute photographs of toddlers and terriers playing in the dunes. It is the act of picking it up, of passing it between us and dropping it and blaming the other and trying to ascertain if it is the wind or it teasing its tentacles, then carrying it towards the sea and into a pool where its mandibles twitch and bubble and legs blush a slow rise indigo at the same rate of our own thawing that stayed the pain, stalling our rising defences, its once mottled legs creeping blue with lobster life. These few seconds we bend over the beads of air, ourselves a slow blush of resistance to the immobility of rap darkening. We don't know if it will live, but our bodies know love. I don't know how many of you have witnessed bioluminescence. So some of these plants in the sea, the phytoplankton, will spark astonishing colours as defence or as attraction as well for the animals will have it, spark it as attraction. And I was sailing with some friends, very fortunate to be sailing with some friends in the northeast coast of Scotland. And some of them were male friends and were able to piss overboard, and at which point we saw all this sparkle in the sea. So then we had to start throwing more and more water over the side of the boat to sort of spark this bioluminescence. And this poem, so yeah, explores how they're so small as individual, and yet when you see them clustered together, both in the sparks of bioluminescence or as the red tides when they kind of really gather together, you can see them from space. So this sort of contrast of scale is just extraordinary. Bioluminescence. Hurling water overboard, we ignite this creased evening. Adrenaline sparks my arm, my chest, as if I'm watching my thrill glitter in nebula exploding below. A circuitry faster than I can distinguish anything from myself, itself, or ourselves, slashes in the shadow of the hull, flaking antifire, coppering barnacles and algae for the length of our voyage, ensuring some speed, but nothing compared to this. There is no cellular speed compared to this 100 millisecond blue-white charge carried through the water. Water that sings through blood and brain, perhaps causing a different stress, deep in unconsidered cells, flashing and sparking their alarm, pin bright to deter predators. Not us, we throw again, again, without knowing whether what we deplete will be recharged, or if these are the same few creatures responding over and over, which they can't be when you think of how their blooms of night blue or day red, surface smears, curve with currents, turn colossal, continental when viewed from a satellite. Visible only by detachment. Just like when my silhouette swims solo beneath the sun, beneath me, shot through by minnows, eel inking each rock and sponge. When the sea lifts me away from me, and I become separate and contingent on the constellation, spraying through droplets, through the small arc of an arm, swinging through one summer night. And thank you. And I wanted to finish with a couple of poems that I wrote when I was well, not I wrote after I'd been to the Arctic. I had this extraordinary experience that I was able to go up to Svalbard, right in the far Arctic, and yeah, it was just a totally bewildering experience. I'd sort of wanted to go for so long, and then when I got there, I didn't really know why I had wanted to go. Yeah, it was just like otherworldly, as you might be able to imagine. And it's a these are poems that form a bigger sequence, but I'm just going to read you a couple. They're called Melt, like the book Melt, in which ice still holds the Arctic. This shallow ocean, stumped by hills eddying a heartbeat, is where life rises. One possible future. I look into a berg, ice pixelated, grainy blue and grey. And there's me inside, blue eyes swimming, magnified. I can't tell if I'll disappoint anyone or anything depending on me, or me depending on me. I'm not used to being lost. Shoreline tells me the lie of the land. Here, I'll need my peripheral sight to document what I can't read. The more I think about words, the more uneasy I feel. I will use the ice's ink to damp shadow the page, a squid fluoresce the coal. And so, yeah, it was so big and so old, it really unnerved me, ultimately. Melt, in which comfort is sought. I find myself wanting to hold, be held by a body as fleeting as mine in the face of something too large to see. The smallest algae will survive these conditions, their resistance to sinking. So small I might not count, turn me smaller than small. Multitude defends, breathing is believing. A comma of chlorophyll, many commas, punctuate many ripples amongst the legion of crossing streams, falling to sediment, snow. Millions coiling across the glass parent that will never be full. Every exhale extends 9 months, a year, decades. I find myself wanting to hold and be held. Thank you very much for listening.
Sarah, thank you so much for a absolutely deeply evocative and absolutely beautifully powerful reading. It's so much appreciated. So guys, you will notice a little bit of a theme in our guest readers this evening. This is the last day of Cork Harbour Festival. For the last 4 or 5 years, the June event of Ovale has been the final event in Cork Harbour Festival. So we have a bit of an oceanographic theme this evening. So can we have another big round of applause, please, for Sarah Hyman? That was wonderful. Thank you, Sarah.